Hey, Anna.
Hi, Sam.
We have a special guest here for our intro.
Mimi Kennedy.
Explain to our listeners. I'm sure they all know who Mimi is. I mean, they all watch Mom.
Mimi Kennedy is my co-star on Mom, and she's so fucking brilliant. And one of the many reasons that I love coming to work every day is because I get to see you, Mimi.
Oh, Anna.
And I've learned so much from you, and I just love you so much.
Oh, it's mutual. I call her the professor now. Professor Ferris, thank you.
So yeah, Mimi, I really couldn't love you more. We have like,
we do.
You're in my dressing room next door.
Yes,
and I like look to you for advice and guidance. And I just and I love your fucking boots that you're wearing right now.
You've given me advice. We just talked about that this morning.
Thank you.
The right kind of boots to get so that you don't.
Well, maybe not quite the same as the life advice you give me, but
not 4-inch spike heel boots. That hurts after a long day of work. Anyway,
that's the only wisdom I have to offer.
Well, I'm telling you, it's worth it.
I love how your entire cast, you guys are a family and you're all pretty much best friends. I see the way you interact whenever I come to set here. It's really,
work is a pleasure. Let me just put it this way. Work is a pleasure.
We're so fortunate that we have such a tight group of women.
I know.
So let's give our listeners a tiny bit of a teaser.
Yes.
Can I put you on the spot for a second?
Absolutely. I look forward to it. Oh,
how,
do it
how
now.
How old were you when you lost your virginity?
That's a good question. I try to remember. I think I was either 17 or 18. It depends on the month and
the day.
Were
you in love?
Yes. Madly in love. And it was the longest siege of a female body known to man, because I was Catholic. Not supposed to.
Oh.
So it was, you know, the boys talk
about
the bases.
So was guilt combined with
guilt, combined
pleasure?
With thrill, combined with pleasure, combined with mad love for this boy. It went on for a long time. And I loved him for a long time. And I treasured that relationship and that memory. But yeah, I feel sorry for people in this horrible, you know, sort of rape culture thing. And it's such an assault. And you're supposed to do this because you're popular. I don't know what it is. I'm so old. I'm betraying my age. But to really be in love and think I really shouldn't. But oh, I want to. And to have that go on for months. That's good sex. Just saying.
Mimi, okay. Because we're going to start the podcast here at the studio.
Yes.
I would love to have you. Will you please come?
Yes, I will.
Mimi, but you know she has a book coming out too.
Yes.
Are you excited about the book?
I was there.
Are you a reader? Do you read normally?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God, yes. Not only that, she's an author. She's writing her own book.
Like, oh, we have so much to talk about in the podcast.
Yeah,
when we're
a lot. Yeah, I can't wait for the book because you know what I want to hear? I want to hear your voice, which I know very well. In written words.
You can actually do
in
it,
written
the
words.
Audible, right?
But I love to read. But
oh,
when
sure.
I read, I get a voice,
absolutely.
You know, in my head based on what the lines I'm reading. And I know Anna's is going to be great. Plus, I always love your advice, which I do listen to. And I know that you're addressing what a geezer with contemporary subjects. You're addressing contemporary subjects.
Oh, Mimi, I know shit about you. You've told me.
I know.
You've told me about the 70s.
I know.
I can't wait to hear all about it.
But you didn't know when I became a, when I first lost my virginity.
Yeah, but
we have much to cover.
I know you got stories.
I do.
I love you so much.
All right,
thank
honey.
You.
Okay, so you can get Unqualified. It's available 10/24, October 24th, and you can get it on iBooks, Amazon, Target, Barnes & Noble's, and your local independent bookstore. So please go out and support your local indie bookstore.
Can we pre-order that? Amazon always has that.
You can pre-order
thing.
It right now on Amazon if you,
you
wanted to.
You can pre-order
Absolutely.
It on me. I'm doing that.
And you know she's also doing a book tour as well.
Well, I assume.
So if you want information on the book tour, go to unqualified.com/booktour, and the cities are Jersey City, Austin, Seattle, and LA. I'm actually going to be at your book event in Austin because you're also going to be doing something really special there. At the Alamo Draft House, you're going to be screening your movie, House Bunny. And anyone that buys a ticket to that event gets a free copy of the book and gets to meet you in a signature, right? You get to do a whole meet and greet as well?
Yeah. I'm terrified. But I'm excited, but I'm terrified. It's...
Oh, House Bunny. I told her.
Such a great movie.
Anna, that was where you personified the Barbie doll better than anybody ever has before.
I love you, Mimi.
It's the working, living Barbie doll.
If I ever get a glimpse of that movie, not that I watch my work a lot, but
yeah.
I do remember I was hungry.
Hungry the whole time.
I was hungry, but I was also really proud. I was proud.
Because why? Did you diet down to nothing?
Well, no. I was proud, not because of the physicality, but because it was a project that I helped create and sold. And it has a very special place in my heart.
It had your sensibility all over it, which is why it was good.
Embrace the idiot.
Mimi, thank you so much for hanging out.
Yeah, Mimi,
and
I love
we're looking forward to having you.
You know, that's
Mimi,
that.
I love you so much.
And now here is Lee Daniels.
Hide behind characters.
Where's Lee's mic?
My whole career. And so with having the book...
You're the actress. I know you.
Wait, is this a joke?
Lee, I love you.
Lee, take a mic. Lee, take a mic.
Here's your mic. Scary Movie 1, 2, 3, and 4.
Now what? Because whatever it is, it was fucking fierce.
Thank you.
Now what?
Well, I don't know.
Because whatever it is,
you're looking deep into my eyes.
No, because I don't like not knowing.
Do you just do random people's podcasts?
I don't know. I trust her blindly, but it doesn't matter. I know you as an actor, don't I?
Yeah, I'm an actor.
Okay, so let's figure this out real quick. Can you just unembarrass me right now and tell me? I mean, she's clearly someone, and I know the work. So the work, whatever you did.
House Bunny?
House Bunny. Huh?
House Bunny. She was a star of the House Bunny.
I did.
Oh my God. How fucking hilarious. Of course. Of course.
Lee, I love it that you're just doing random people's podcasts.
No, I don't know. I don't.
You're a podcast whore.
I've only done
two. We call you up and you're just like, I don't even know where I'm going.
Listen.
Here at Warner Brothers Studio, you show up. Who the fuck is this blonde woman that's hugging me?
I'm sorry. Here's the thing. I just trust my... team, I just like, you know, you have to just
I love
like, give
that
away.
Of course, yeah, but,
and
I'm with sometime, you
yeah and, but I'm embarrassed
around.
Now I'm embarrassed now because I really enjoyed I didn't enjoy the movie I enjoyed you
thank you
I enjoyed you I thought that no I enjoyed you I enjoyed what you did was how do I say this what you did was you made me laugh. It
Thanks.
Was very visceral.
Thank you.
And you went out of your you took risks. And that's what actors should do. You took bold risks.
Thank you.
I thought that was, wow. I just thought that was really good. Thank you very much. I'm so embarrassed now.
No,
that's what a great way to start. Dum, bum, bum, bum. Lee Daniels done came in here and embarrassed himself. Sorry.
No. But thank you. I
and you have a book now.
Yeah, we're not talking about me. We're going to talk about you.
Okay, sure.
But thank you. And I'm really honored that you're here. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. Don't make fun of these shoes.
This is our first.
Can you talk about these shoes?
I don't make fun of things.
Okay, well.
I'm a sincere person. And
well,
I don't...
sincere people make fun of things sometimes.
Well, behind people's backs.
Don't make fun of me when I leave, please.
I won't. But dear listeners, Lee Daniels is our unbelievable guest tonight. And we're at the Warner Brothers studio, for like our first podcast in my dressing room. And he's wearing these fabulous flip-flops.
Are they though? That's the question. I think they're too
I'm
fabulous.
Just worried I'm not worried. My feet first, might sweat.
Well, not only do they sweat, but you see how bad the how I need desperately a pedicure. That's what happens when you wear shoes like this. And this is the first time that I've worn them. So I won't wear them again because it gives too much attention.
A shoe mistake
is a big mistake.
Is a tough one.
Yep. Mistake.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm so happy we're not on TV.
All that time.
It's podcast time.
So wait, tell me everything. So you've done podcasts before?
I've done one or two.
And have you enjoyed the experience?
Well, I only have. The one that I remember is this last one moments ago that I'm still sort of trying to figure out. Oh my God, what did I just say?
Who was it? Mark Maron. Oh, Maron.
I love you. I love you so much right now, Lee. I couldn't actually. I'm like, my heart is feeling.
Did I make a fool of myself?
No. This is amazing.
No. It's, I just like, because I would do the exact same thing. Sim has to like drag me around to very like. Anyway, I get it. Mm. I so get it. I'm with you. Mm.
Like, right now I'm more concerned about my episode. Is the 2-3 going to turn out good? How's it going to test on 2? How's 2 going to test? Are we, you know, how are we doing? You know,
should we apologize for being narcissists? I feel like a true narcissist mm-hmm.
Well, identifies.
Yeah, yeah. Like wouldn't feel like insulted by that.
No,
idea.
Not at all. Am I a narcissist? I guess.
You might be. But I am too.
I think to do this shit that we do every day is narcissism.
Oh yeah.
I think that to put yourself up for ridicule mm-hmm. and put your heart out mm-hmm. and your soul out. Uh-huh. Into a
to be critiqued.
For I think sure. that is something's wrong with you. Something's wrong with all of us.
What do you think that is? I mean, do you think it's like a childhood trauma? Or do you
I think it's
like
the wanting to be loved.
Yeah.
Ultimately.
Yeah.
A desperate need mm-hmm. and putting up a facade.
When you were a kid, did you cry in front of the mirror?
You're vile. You are vile. Sorry, little bitch.
Listen, dude, you know that I'm just trying to.
Yes, I did.
Of course you did.
I did.
Yeah. Yes. Right? Yep. Yep. The tragedy.
Is that narcissism?
I always thought
narcissism?
Oh, yeah. But, well, I don't know. But
okay.
When...
It's the real, okay? It's the real. I did. Why, though?
I don't know why.
I can't answer why.
I know why. Because my mom didn't ever want to see me cry. She was like, you have nothing to feel. You can't feel sorry for yourself. What are you doing? Like, you are so lucky. Blah, blah, blah. Mm. And so I would have to cry to myself in front of the mirror.
Well, I only did it twice. Just think, I've only did it.
Oh.
No, I swear. I can remember the times that I did it.
Really?
Yes, I can remember vividly the times that I did it.
What were they?
I don't remember. Just like it was stupid, but I remember being in eighth grade. And I want to say maybe.
Were you getting bullied?
I don't remember.
Eighth grade was the worst. That was my worst bullying year.
Yeah. My dad told me, and this was before he was killed. My dad told me, I used to get called fag and sissy and I remember, even from kindergarten, remembering being bullied, knowing that I was gay and knowing that I was different, not knowing that I was gay really, but knowing that I was different and holding my urine so I wouldn't have to go to the bathroom. Because I was so afraid. And then running at 3 o'clock, running home all the way. And it was something that was just innate. And I just did it all through eighth grade and then, or seventh grade. And my dad finally, one day he caught me and he said, you're going to go outside and you're going to fight those guys. And I did. And I went to the hospital.
Oh my God.
Can you imagine?
No.
Yeah.
I can't.
I don't know when the tears happened in the mirror. But it was somewhere between kindergarten and eighth grade, and it happened twice.
So then, I don't know, like, what's the story of sort of, like, recovery? And then you clearly are now, like, so fucking hugely successful, and you tell these stories.
It's so funny, I don't see myself that way. I really don't.
As successful or a storyteller?
I see myself as a storyteller,
mm-hmm.
but I don't see myself as successful as you say that I am.
How? Why not?
I don't know. I wish I could answer that honestly. I don't know. Maybe that's something I should talk about in therapy. I'm going to talk about that in therapy tomorrow.
What about Saturday?
Saturday. I'll talk about it on Saturday. Well, your iPod.
Podcast.
Will it,
there's a lot of peas.
will it air by Saturday so he can hear it?
No.
Oh, so anyway, remind me to talk about that. Did you put that in my text? Text me so I can talk to him.
Okay, so.
You think I'm joking? I text because I remember things to talk about to my therapist.
That's good. I should do that. Mm. I need to go to therapy. fuck, I totally
well, sometimes, need you know, I think therapy is through the work too for the longest time.
Yeah.
Like it's been, you know, I don't know about an actor. Does it work for an actor? Because it works for me as a director and as a creator. What is therapeutic for me, and has been therapeutic for me, and by addressing my issues, have been through the work. You know,
yeah.
I end up like feeling like, oh, that's over with. Oh, that's over with. Like, oh, I got that over with. And I check off the boxes. But then you come up and you realize that you're still left with the current situation, whatever your current problems are. I escape in the work to articulate my pain from my past.
Mm-hmm.
But then I come up from air out of the work and there's still situations that I got to deal with. Does that make any sense?
Oh, completely. And
that's a mouthful, but I hope it's not too deep or anybody said.
Oh my God, fuck no.
Yeah.
But no, for like, I love to escape through
I'm going back to, listen, I'm going back to you Philly? Telling me, no, are you from Philly?
No, but I read that you are.
I am. Listen, I'm going back to you telling me that I'm a, what'd you say I was?
A narcissist?
No.
But you're also fucking handsome.
Thank you. Like, but what was the word? Did you say something? No, you said something about like, powerful or something.
You are. You're something. Fucking powerful.
And so I'm trying to adapt to that. The narcissist part, you know, okay, I'll buy it. I guess that comes with the territory.
But that's a hard thing for a scrappy.
My publicist like, is, uh-oh. Did I say something wrong?
No, but for like, because, I mean, I
grew up, I don't give a fuck.
But I felt like I was a loner as a kid. And
were you?
Oh
me too.
Yeah.
Me too.
Oh yeah. And you follow up on what your thought was.
I think that wow. First of all, I'm going to go back to telling you how much I loved the your performance
in The House Bunny.
Mhm.
You're so sweet.
I swear to God. I swear to God. And so I think that girl, stop. Okay. Stop. But
Lee Daniels is our guest tonight. He's fucking awesome. He's made amazing movies.
And TV shows too. You
Empire.
Yes. Oh, Star, sorry. Boy, got stars. But no, seriously, to get to that place, you've got to experience something to know to go there. To go there, mm-hmm. You have had to have been there to go there. Does that make any sense?
Oh, fuck yeah.
Yeah, you have to have been there. Because you don't just make that shit up. Can't nobody just randomly come up with something like that. They have to have experienced a darkness or something to create that.
Yeah. Oh, completely, 100%. And like, and I really, like, I a lot of that sort of in my comedy a bit because... I think that like good comedy sort of has to tap into loneliness or at least like a sense of isolation, if that makes sense, mm-hmm. too. It's like, I can relate to that.
I think the most talented actors are comedians. They're the most improvisational, that know instinctively how to make the words their own in a way. And I mean, Richard Pryor certainly was an example of that, yes, as a comedian, but more important, I watched him in Lady Sings the Blues recently with Diana Ross, and he plays a drug addict. And it's just so, it's like mesmerizing. I think that some of the most brilliant people, most brilliant actors are comedians because they know how they have a third eye. They got a third eye.
Well, it's like the idea, I think that the first big movie I did was Scary Movie. Mm-hmm. And
see, there you go again. There you fucking go again. I knew it.
I knew it.
Lee, I love it. You. I love it that you just are like, I'm going good. To do a podcast at Warner Brothers.
I'm gonna can I get a podcast? What happens?
But he told me that there's no vanity in comedy. And like sort of mulling over that whole idea of like the good comedy, I think, makes you feel incredibly vulnerable and that desire to be liked. Mm. And like
Is it narcissism?
Well, I think it's a combination because...
What defines narcissism? I guess the question is that, because I don't like that word. I don't like it at all. But I think that, and sadly, I will admit that I think that the most brilliant filmmakers that I've sat down with are.
But I think it's an okay term because I think, well, because I admit that I have an ego, but I want to be liked. So it's that weird combination of like attempting to not be vain in a typical way. I mean, that's
no. I have my Can I tell you something right now? And like, listen, let me. What I've learned is that once you've achieved some level of success, and that I know I have, it's not what it was. It's not what it's cracked up to be. And that you find yourself becoming more reclusive and cautious.
Will you talk a little bit more about that? The idea of success not being what it's cracked up to be?
No, it's not at all. And I think that's what I'm exploring with my new show, Star. You know, we explore in Empire what it's like to be famous. And we all became rich and famous because of it. Literally. Do you know?
Mm-hmm. Yep. And literally. So how did that not give you the reward?
It didn't, because you're still left with yourself at the end of the day.
Yeah. And sometimes even more lonely.
And then, yeah. You have people around you sometimes that want things from you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And then you're the bad guy if you don't supply. Mm-hmm. And so you're dealing with your own self, like issues, like trying to make everybody happy as you're doing your thing. Mm-hmm. And you've heard about these types of bloodsuckers. They do movies about them. But when it's actually happening to you, you don't even know it's happening.
You don't feel it. It's like a mosquito bite. Mm-hmm. It's like you don't feel it until...
And it's really painful.
And when...
And when you come from an impoverished place, you're there to give back. Like I have friends, like, you know, most of my friends, like their families are wealthy. And they grew up with wealth. And so the idea and the concept of giving back is incomprehensible. So I'm here to make sure that, you know, cousin so-so is okay and that her cancer bill is paid or whatever. And then if you don't do it right, then you're famous.
But then what?
You're famous and you don't give a fuck.
But what happens?
You know what I mean? And so you're just like, you know, like, so you're constantly dealing with that because you don't want them to feel that you've changed.
Yeah, right.
Do you know?
Yeah, of course.
So that, I mean, so
you're
then
you're losing your community.
And then you have to do everything politically correct because then you're an embarrassment. You're already an embarrassment sometimes because you're like out and gay, you know?
Do you feel that way?
Sometimes. Really? For sure. Mm-hmm. I mean,
like,
it was just.
When does that feeling intensify?
Like, itself? I remember specifically my mom was like, Miss So and so at the church thinks something's wrong with you and us because you make these movies like The Woodsman about a pedophile or Precious and stuff and Shadow Boxer. And you make these movies that are just like, they're like, can you just do a movie like Tyler Perry? And I go, huh? So I said, who said this? She said, somebody at the church. I won't mention the person's name. So
I like Mrs. So-and-so.
So I said.
She sounds like she might not be getting laid.
I said, all right, let me make the butler. That shut that bitch up for good. For good. You know what I mean? Yep, I got points there for a while.
Yeah. But you shouldn't have to. But Of course. But.
Oh, Miss So-and-so knows that I called her a bitch if she's listening to this.
Oh, she loves On Fair So Qualified.
You don't know. Go ahead.
As
I edit myself, it's too late now.
No, I love this. This is, you're fucking amazing. I'm sorry if Mrs. So-and-so is not going to like all my swearing.
Yeah. Fuck her.
Fuck her.
Mom, I didn't mean that, Mom.
Okay, so wait, I'm getting urged by Sim.
I know we're not going to get to both calls, but I really want Lee to experience the first call. Okay. Advice calls. It's an advice show.
Pat, love!
Yes. Okay.
Advice.
Okay. So now, wait, Lee. I don't know if you're single, and you don't have to tell us if you are. But this is imagine if you were. Mm-hmm. This is a game we call Deal Breakers.
Okay.
You ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Instead of walking, he uses his hoverboard.
Do you know what a hoverboard is? One of those?
I think it's
is
like
there a picture attached? There's a picture, right?
No. It's like a the thing that you, floating the, skateboarding
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, the thing that the skate, like, the motorized. Like a skateboard.
Yeah. Motorized
like,
skateboard. Yeah, two wheels. I know what it is. Yeah. We put it, Hakeem put it on Empire. I had him rolling down the hallway. I tried that shit. I did kill myself almost.
So is that deal breaker?
What's the question again?
Instead of walking, this dude that you're into, or maybe he's into you or you're dating or whatever, he uses his hoverboard.
So in other words, I would...
Like you're going down... to brunch in Silver Lake and
I could only...
You're walking and he's...
On his hoverboard? If he were hot, yeah. I'd hoverboard
okay,
him.
All right,
yeah,
all right.
He can hoverboard my hoverboard.
All right, so not a deal breaker.
Not a deal breaker.
Okay, number two. He has a penis implant.
A penis implant? What does that mean, a penis implant?
I don't know.
A penis implant. Would I date somebody with a penis implant?
Yeah.
It depends on the color.
What does that mean?
You go figure that one out.
I can't.
Yeah.
That's fucking complicated.
So it depends on the color of the penis implant. How about that?
Lee, I can't fucking...
How about that?
This is a puzzle I cannot unravel. How about that? All right, fine. We'll leave that one for our listeners to figure out. Okay, on the third date, he brings his screenplay and asks for notes.
That is a deal breaker.
Nice. Okay, he asks how much money you make on the first date. Ooh.
Now, would you really want to know the true answer?
Yes.
The true answer is...
How hot is he?
Yes. That's really...
That's the true answer?
But no. The true answer is that that's a deal breaker. For sure.
Oh, but maybe you would...
No, I would... No, I don't need to... No, because then you already know what time it is. You know? You asking me how much money I make on my first date? You're out of here.
I'm with you.
Stick a fork in it. Next.
Okay. He has daddy spelled on his knuckles.
It's not a deal breaker.
All right. Daddy. It's not a deal breaker. Daddy Daniels. He has a testicle piercing.
That's a deal breaker.
Okay. All right. Why?
I don't know.
I know why.
I'm turned off by all I've seen this like porn stuff. Like, you know, the piercings and the clitoris and all that kind of, it's too much. It's too much. It's too much. It's too surgical. I don't get it. I don't get piercings down there. I don't. I've seen some too.
Oof. You have?
Oh yeah.
I haven't.
You don't watch porn?
Not as much.
I don't watch porn that much. But I mean,
I like literature. Is that fucked up?
No, it's not at all. Ain't nothing wrong with, you know, there's pornographic literature.
Oh yeah, I know that. That's what I read. That's all I read. That's all I read all day long. Okay. He always calls you Lee Daniels instead of just Lee.
That's a problem. That's a deal breaker.
Okay.
Why? I don't like that. I don't know.
Is it like too formal? Is it too recognizing of your stature? Uh-huh.
Problem.
Yeah. It would be weird if somebody called me Anna Faris all the time.
Well, then exactly.
Yeah.
So why would you ask me some shit like
that? Because Lee Daniels rolls off the tongue because it's like two first names.
Well, it's not my real name. My real name is Leonardo Daniels. And then my Hollywood name became Lee Daniels.
Leonardo.
Hey.
Leonardo. I like that.
Leonardo. That's my real name.
Okay, I like that. He likes to be tickled while he orgasms.
No. Who writes this shit? Are you joking me? Why would you be so judgmental about that? Well, I'm asking you, do you like to be tickled when you're orgasming?
No.
Then why the fuck would I want
to
be?
But why wouldn't you be open?
I'm not open to nobody that wants to be tickled. That's why they're orgasming.
To each his own, right?
Okay, yeah, that's right. No, that's right. No judging.
That's right.
Nicey to everybody.
That's right.
Kumbaya, my Lord. Kumbaya.
It would be an odd sensation combination.
Kumbaya, my Lord.
Okay, so right now, Lee,
yep.
Anna is going to audition for the role of Cookie.
Okay, I'm out of here.
In Empire, you are going to. She has her. She has her sides.
Oh no, and Anna.
Lee, you're gonna give her notes.
Okay.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Okay. Are we really doing this?
Yeah, we're doing this.
Okay, here we go. And
this is more of like a Cole read. I think it's a Cole read.
Have you seen the size? Is it a Cole read or is it a Cole read? I haven't looked at them,
but you don't know that yet.
Well, that already just, we got a problem because you would have studied the material prior to.
Can I just please walk into the room?
Okay, yeah. Let's start.
Hi, Lee. Anna Faris is here.
Mm.
Hi.
Hello. How are you?
Oh my gosh. Now,
are
great.
You the real Anna Faris or are you someone that looks like Anna Faris?
No, I'm the real one.
Hello.
How are you?
Scary
movie Lee. 1, 2, 3, and 4. Yep. Oh my gosh. It's great.
3 and 4?
3 and 4. Wow. Yeah. Hey, thank you so much for seeing me.
You're welcome.
I have to tell you, this role spoke to me.
Well, the character is written African American. Let's start there.
Well,
I'm a fan, but let's start there. The character was written
Should I not read or?
Well,
I mean, I know that
you don't think there's another character named Rhonda. Yeah. Yeah, that we're looking for too, who is married to one of the sons. But if you read good as Cookie, who knows? You know, maybe you can be in my next TV show star, or maybe you can play this role. Let's see what you're doing with Cookie. Can we do that?
Yeah, I would love that. I would love
I'd
that.
Like to see
it's
you.
Really it's an honor to meet you and it's an honor to
Thank
be
you.
Here. And,
Thank you very much. It's a sweet girl you are.
Yeah, thanks.
Let her in here. Go ahead.
Okay.
Here we go.
All right. Mm-hmm. Are we recording?
We're recording.
We're recording. Okay.
Yep.
Hi. I'm Anna Faris and I'm reading for the role of Cookie.
Height.
Hi.
Height.
Oh, height.
Height.
I'm 5'4".
Good. Okay. Hit it.
Yeah. Okay. Listen, I'm not stupid. You can fool this country so they think you're legit. But I know you ain't nothing but a punk-ass gangster. Just because I asked Jesus to forgive you don't mean I do. I see right through you. And you can't toss us to the side when you can't control us anymore. The streets aren't made for everybody, baby. And that's why they made sidewalks. So... Wait, do you want me to do it again?
Yeah.
Okay. Again?
One more time, okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Any notes?
Oh, yeah, I hear the notes. My notes are, could you be a little more black? Could you?
Yeah.
Can you put some bass into that?
Yeah, totally.
A little bit of toed.
Yeah.
A little toed.
Okay.
A little bit of bass. A little bit of street.
Like
a little bit of swag.
Okay.
Think a little bit. Think of Nicki Minaj. Think you got an ass like Nicki. You know what I mean? Think that.
Yeah.
Go into that direction.
Yeah.
Can you do that?
Yeah,
I see
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
And I know that you can go there.
Yeah, of course.
I know that I've seen your work.
Yeah.
I know you can hit it.
Okay.
Tap into it.
All right.
Hit it.
Okay. Listen, I'm not stupid.
No. You're acting. Drop in the pocket. Just be you. Say the lines as you. Drop into the pocket and give it to me. Give me your Cookie. Give me your inner Cookie. If you're going to do this, let's do it. Give me your white girl Cookie. Make those words come true for you. Hit it.
Listen, I'm not stupid. You can fool this country so they think you're legit, but I know you ain't nothing but a punk-ass gangster. Just because I asked Jesus to forgive you don't mean I do. I see right through you. And you can't toss us to the side when you can't control us anymore. The streets aren't made for everybody. That's why they made sidewalks.
Can I tell you, I would cast you in a fucking heartbeat if I didn't know that character was black. Because
really?
you made it you.
Thank you. Well, you forced me to.
No, you made it you. And you dropped in the pocket. And when you're in the pocket, there's no lying. There's no lying.
Mm-hmm.
The truth will set you free always, my darling.
Lee.
That was awesome.
Hey, wait, before we get to the call, I do, as an actor, I want to ask you.
That was good. First of all, know that that was good. Did you record that? That was really good. And you should always tap into that. Well, you know that already because that's the reason why you are successful at what you do. You know what I mean? You tapped into, you made Cookie yours.
Oh, that's
You owned that shit. Okay, so what else?
Okay, so when you were when you think about casting, what do you look for? Like,
well, I look for, can I tell you, you were on my radar. I just, something that just like is unusual. Like, what is going to be unusual? What's unusual? Like, yeah. I don't like cookie cutter at all. If you really study the people that I were, even, you know, the people that are famous that have worked for me disappear. Cause I don't want that. You know, I change that. I want the unusual because we're all so unusual. And with television in particular, you know, they want that, you know, that 9 to 5, that cookie cutter, that, you know, that every day that, you know, no, I like that odd. Something's off.
I do too. I like to watch somebody who's really active, active in their face or like.
And someone that appreciates my insanity. You know what I mean? Like, you got to jump off the cliff with me. Like, I've written some crazy shit. Come jump. You want to play? Let's go. And that's what we do. You know, we go and we play. It's difficult, you know, to bare your soul. So many actors bare their souls for people that aren't that talented and they don't know what to do with it. And I feel bad for those actors because you have some great actors, sometimes with some mediocre directors, you know, that don't know what the, or some mediocre showrunners that don't know what they're doing. You're like throwing pearls to swine to fucking pigs. You know what I mean? So it's, I'm really, really sensitive to actors. Crazy sensitive to actors.
I feel like we've been staring deep into each other's eyes.
Well, once you tapped into Cookie, at first you were making fun of it. You were mocking the word.
Well,
but then you were mocking it and it was funny.
But then you forced me to like actually be kind of.
Yes.
Like,
and I bought who that was. It really changed my interpretation of who I thought she was. In other words, that could have happened to a white girl with blonde hair.
And I want to explore. I mostly do comedy, but I grew
up. But I think that, as I told you, were you listening or were you interviewing me? Because I said earlier, I think the best actors, they have a third eye, are comedians. It's just been proven. Monique is a prime example from Precious.
Oh, she's so funny.
I mean, you know, when you tap into that, it's that third eye that you have. Mike Epps threw down for me in Richard Pryor. Like he, you know, that's why I cast him, Richard Pryor. He was just like next level. They have something that that the trained actor doesn't have. I mean, sometimes it's hit and miss, you know, again, if you're not directed properly, but personally.
Yeah. No, I think that there's a darkness in comedy and a soul about it.
Well, you're truth tellers.
Yeah.
You're truth tellers.
And you have
you're
to
truth
be
tellers.
Exposed.
I don't know that
your
I could do it.
Your skin is off.
I don't know that I know I wouldn't do it. I don't know that I could do it.
Yes, you could. You're doing it right now.
What do you mean?
I mean,
I'm not making you laugh.
No. But you're it's about exposure.
Mm-hmm.
And you are making me laugh. And like,
I'm not a comedian.
But no. But it's no. It's different from joke telling. You were right. It's truth telling.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about like, this is my relatable experience. And through that like comedy journey, like that's where your audience can sort of laugh the hardest because they know exactly what you're saying, you know?
It's deep.
Like when I wore headgear in eighth grade or when you cried in front of the mirror or like, you know.
Did you cry in front of the mirror?
Oh,
or you just
fuck
made,
yeah.
Okay, good. So I thought you tricked me into that.
No. That would be weirdly conniving.
Well, narcissistic.
Well, maybe you're right. Maybe you do have a negative association with that word, I think.
I do.
I know.
I should look at it. Maybe I don't even know what the word means.
I've started to embrace it a little bit as this is just something that people in our industry are a lot of times. Like,
a lot of times.
The need to be liked, the need to be accepted.
Okay.
And with also a healthy ego.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and it can be, we can warp ourselves into be like slightly dismissive of people sometimes. Or, you know what I mean? You know what I mean? You know what I mean? You know exactly what I mean, Lee. This is what I'm saying. You're cringing because you know it's true. Yep. Yeah. And it's, especially in Hollywood, we're all such hustlers that we have to put some of this shit.
Can I tell you though, once you get to a place, the hustle's gone. I don't know whether, I mean, I guess if I were forced to hustle, I would have, I mean, I guess I, yeah, I could do it again. But hustle has sort of been there, done that, you know? Been there, done that. I don't think
I think as an actor, I will always have to be doing a bit of that, like a bit of a showman.
That's sad.
It's like a showman. It's like I'm selling my wares. And I also get, I have the luxury of being able to create my own projects and being a part of things.
There you go.
But it's also like, here, I have to sell, if I want to create a project, I have to sell it to a studio. I have to like do, like, and maybe it's as a woman too, but I don't think there's shame in that. I think it's okay. It's just part of, it's part of
part of the business.
Yeah, it's part of being a creative person and being able to make money and being able to live and being able to then create more. Yeah. You were looking at me like you either want to.
No, I'm thinking. You make me think.
Oh, good.
I'm thinking. I don't like. I'm thinking. You're making me think about the hustle part and the hustler part. And because I did hustle for a long
time. Yeah, we have to.
But then you get thrown with the reality of the work after you hustle.
Oh, completely.
And I think I appreciate the hustle more than I appreciate the work, because the work is like, oh my God, where's the hustle?
Yeah.
Because you know, the hustle was easy compared to the work. The work is like a nightmare. Oh,
there's
you know
nothing
what I mean?
Like getting the. The day that you get the phone call that you got the job, it's
right.
It's like
hi,
and then it's
the work.
Oh fuck!
Yeah,
what did I do this? Oh, I have to be vulnerable. I have to like my face is going to be recorded. I have to do the words that somebody wrote. I have to figure out this character. I have to like do the whole thing. But
we do it.
But then you do it,
and you could, it could be a lot worse.
Oh,
you know, it could be a lot worse. Like I think of. You know, my best friend growing up who's a postal worker who's retired now, and just like, wow, I don't know if I could do that.
I painted.
But you know one thing?
What was your worst job?
Normal. My worst job was
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, my worst job was working at as a cook in a low rent restaurant in Philadelphia. And having breakfast, and I remember eating whatever it was there that morning and getting food poisoning and throwing up. And it was 11 or 12, and it was the worst job. I said, oh my God, I will never do this again.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yes. I hear you on the food service.
Yeah.
I worked as a waitress in a retirement home.
That's a horrible experience.
Ooh, it was rough.
Yeah.
$5.25 an hour, no tips. Yeah, it was rough.
All drag queens, one of the most important jobs as a drag queen is lip.
This is pretty amazing. I love it that you're noticing
lip
this.
Lip syncing.
Allison Janney put that on my wall.
We have received many complaints about performers not knowing their word. Therefore, we will be watching very closely whether you know your words or not. You better work. Watermelon, motherfucker. Okay.
Uh-huh.
No, I'm going to stop right there.
Uh-huh. No, it's amazing. It's amazing.
Watermelon, motherfucker, watermelon will not work anymore. If you do not know your words, you will not be paid for that number. That's all, queen.
Are they talking to me? Okay.
Anna? Because he has
okay.
to go.
Yep.
Let's do one calls. Call. We'll do one call because we'll do the last call by ourselves after Lee leaves.
Great.
And so,
why?
Do you have a screening?
I do have a screening, but what time? Am I late now? We have to leave. What time is it? We can do
one more. Okay. One call and then.
Yeah. I want two calls.
Okay. I would love to do two calls.
Hello.
Hey, Bridget, it's Sim. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Sim?
I'm doing really well. Here's Anna.
Hi, Bridget. It's Anna.
Hi, Anna. How are you?
I'm really good.
And Anna's going to introduce our special guest to you.
Lee Daniels and I, we're having sort of a love affair.
Hey,
hi,
so
my darling.
Bridget, tell us what happened with your friend. Tell us a story.
So I have a friend that I've known probably for about 13 years. And, you know, I knew his brother. I mean, it's a small town that I live in. And I didn't actually know if he was, you know, straight or gay or bi. He's a very handsome guy. So, you know, he gets attention from pretty much everyone and anyone. And over the last 3 years, we've hung out, you know, we've been very close. And I started getting messages on Facebook and that other inbox from people that were like, hey, you're friends with so-and-so. How's he doing since we broke up? And I'm like, what? And of course I was very confused. For someone that is an ally of the LGBT community, I have no gaydar. I just don't have it. So I was like shocked and I was like, what's happening? And so I asked my friend if he knew this person. He goes, and he had just said, you know, he blew it off and was like, oh, just ignore him. So a few months later, I was talking with my hairdresser about something and the conversation about him, my friend came back up. He's like, oh, he's like, honey, you need to see his Grindr profile. I was like, why would he have a Grindr profile? And his husband at the time also showed me his Scruff profile. I'm like, okay, so I must have missed, you know, in my time, you know, must have missed this announcement or something or other. And I let it go. And then he started dating a female who he never introduced to any of his circle of friends.
What is your question?
Recently he was bringing a friend by to our game night. And I happened to just ask his friend, you know, after 3 months of knowing this new person, said, hey, are you guys like a thing? Like, are you guys a couple? Or are you just hanging out? Are you just friends? Whatever. And he said, yeah, we're a thing. And I was like, awesome. I love this. I adore you guys. So I brought it up to my friend a little while later. And I said, hey, I just wanted to let you know that you guys are a thing right now. And I love it. And he went completely like shut down, like left the party, left the game night. And since then has not returned any of my text messages. He no longer responds to the game night text messages. His new friend is no longer responding either. Sure, I obviously made a mistake in saying something, but I feel like I don't know if I should reach out to him again or just leave him alone.
Oh boy.
Okay, yeah.
Wow. I mean, you miss him, right? Because you want to reach out to him, and that's why you're calling, like we're talking, right?
I miss them both. It's kind of sad because his new friend came into the group and we texted him and said, we love this person. Don't screw this up because we're attached. And he just played it off as a joke, but now I don't talk to anyone in the group.
I don't know what to do. What do we tell her? Let's have a moment about this.
Bridget, I feel confused about what do you think that you did wrong? Because I feel confused.
I don't think you did anything wrong.
Yeah, me neither. Do you think you did?
Like I said, I know that coming out is a very hard thing for some people that are very scared.
Yeah, but
of
did
being,
he know?
Like,
did he know that you knew?
He didn't know.
So was he lying to you?
Oh, yeah. He was making, you know, he was constantly talking about like banging chicks, which is, you know, a term that even my.
Was he actually or was he lying to you?
I have no idea, but I do know that the other men in my town that have had conversations with me is like, he is not sleeping with women.
Mm.
So, you know, if he isn't, you know, but it was one of those things where the way he was talking about it, it definitely didn't give me the vibe that he was actually sleeping with women. It's like, okay, I'll let you play this.
Can you send me his picture?
I'm sure he wouldn't, at this point, he's not talking to me. He'd be like, hey, I know somebody who knows somebody.
No, listen. I think that what he probably feels bad about is lying to you. And I think that if there was a friendship that was there, he probably feels bad about, you know, being dishonest to you. And can I tell you something? I've been dishonest to many women. as I, you know, and not knowing, you know, especially if that woman was close to me. I'd take a beat, let him experience what he's experiencing and reach out to him again.
Yeah. Yeah. And maybe almost, I don't know why I've been on a letter writing kick. But like a letter just saying like that you miss him, or it really depends on how much you want him in your life, I think, or them in your life. And, but I think that, having something in a written form,
yeah, I think that's good. Powerful.
Yeah.
It's very powerful.
Yeah.
The question is, did you want him in your life? That's the question for you. The question for you is really, do you want him in your life?
I do. I mean, I miss him. We used to go to like movies and go to breakfast. And he did get like a job, but I do know from, you know, from the his past, he's had really dark, deep depression. And so my main concern and worry is that this might have triggered him to go back into that dark hole. And the reason why I wanted him to know that I knew about him and his friend was because I saw him happy. And I was like, I want you to live your fullest life. I'm not obviously going to bust out the glitter like party or anything like that for
did
you.
Let me ask you, did you have a crush on him?
I did at one point. I was doing my makeup all the time. Every time I saw him, I made sure that I looked cute. And then when I got this Facebook message from somebody, things started to click. And, you know, I would just, you know, I wouldn't have to worry about putting on makeup. And I was like, okay, I'm just going to play this as this is your secret. We're just going to be chummy. And, you know, from time to time, I would banter with him about certain things and he'd go right along with it. So I don't necessarily think he was like, oh, she knows, because he was in complete shock. He was pretty tan and he went full white when I said it, like deer in headlights. And I was like, oh no, I just made a critical error.
You know, I think that, I don't know. I think that you should tell him all of these things somehow, either in a letter or an email. And say like, I miss your friendship. Tell him everything. Tell him, like, I used to put on makeup for
you.
Like, I used to put on makeup for you. I think you're incredibly handsome. I realize that you are gay and I want to support you, but I also want to be, I don't want to be in your life. And I called this crazy podcast and talked to Lee Daniels. And
I see why you have this question answer. You're really good at it.
Thank you.
You are. You're really good at it. You're really soothing.
Thank you.
Yeah. Did that help you?
But you know,
yeah.
do you know what
Isn't
I mean?
Isn't she like, great? I like, sort of would call her for advice.
Thank you. But also realize too that you're not going to get the answer necessarily that you want, and it's going to be because I think your friend's going through like a lifelong journey here, and you are as well, and so you won't get like complete soothing satisfaction immediately, but. But I think that you will get, I think it will be a relief for you if you just sort of lay everything out as you explained it to us, because you haven't
done anything. You haven't done anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're hurting right now.
Your intentions are totally pure.
And if he is as friendly, if he cares about you, he will respond. And if he doesn't, it wasn't meant to be.
And people like go in and out. They telescope with each other's lives. Yes, you have to go.
Right.
So you know what I mean? So he may need a beat and maybe, you know, he'll come back to you. And that's sort of.
And you need a beat too. You need a beat before you write that email or that text.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Bridget, Lee has to leave right now.
Okay.
It was so nice talking to you, Bridget.
Thank you so much, Lee, for your help.
You've given me something to write about for Star, for my TV show. You've given me something.
Can I audition?
Yeah, you can audition for sure. You can. I wouldn't audition you. I would offer you something. We'd have to figure out what to do. Yeah. But we'd steal her idea. Bridget, you want to sue me? We'd steal your idea. Nice to meet you, Bridget.
Actually, Bridget, we're going to say bye to you right now because we do have to say bye to Lee. But thank you so much.
Great.
Bridget, yes, we're going to email you. Bridget, I love you. Thank you so much.
And just send me an email if you need more help. Just contact me, okay?
Okay.
I will. Thank you.
Bye, Bridget.
Bye.
Lee, thank you so much.
Oh,
we really appreciate it.
Oh my God.
You were seriously one of my all-time favorite guests.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate it.
I could feel like I could stare deep into your eyes forever.
Bye, guys.